What is going on, guys? Welcome to week number 4 of Roleplay Swan Song. I have never seen that intro. I just found that on my subreddit like 5 minutes before we went live, and I decided to play it. The creator of that was, I can't read his name. I guess it's just Nikolai.
Creator of that is awesome as shit.
He's awesome as shit, yeah. Yes. That's incredible. If I could put that on YouTube without getting claimed for some stupid reason without the audio, I would. That is incredible.
That was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, the Swish is just ridiculous. That I don't even know. I guess we can't. People that watched on YouTube, go over to my subreddit. We'll put up the video there so you guys can see it, because I probably can't put that on YouTube. But anyways, what's going on, guys? Wheat, you fulfilled your duty. You win Saul.
Oh, yeah, Guardians. Yeah, Guardian. I did. And so, you know what? I was talking to JP this morning. And I mentioned to you guys that I'm going on a cruise, and I was telling you guys wrong. I'm not going on a Disney cruise. I'm going on a Marvel cruise. Like, I feel so. Like, they're playing Guardians of the Galaxies anytime you want in the theaters on the boat. I feel like I'll probably see it 3 more times there. And I'm just going to tell people, since pretty much Disney has already, you know, like, they've taken a good embrace over the Marvel brand, I'm going on a Marvel cruise, it's going to be. It's gonna be fucking.
You should
fantastic.
Just get like a Spider-Man Speedo and just wear that.
Yeah.
No. See,
someone,
that's Sony.
Someone is using Photoshop.
Oh, that's Sony.
See, I would get thrown off. No, I couldn't be an X-Men. I couldn't be Spider. I couldn't be Spider-Man. I would have to be an Avenger.
You have to get like you could be the Black Widow. Just get some like latex.
Ask for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be Black Widow.
Just get latex. And
someone needs to vacuum you into a suit.
That's it's funny you mentioned that, because I did for Halloween one time go as Uma Thurman from Pulp Fiction.
Oh my God!
Really, who hasn't? You know?
Do you have pictures of
Adam?
Pictures?
Yeah, look at what. Yo, what's that?
You play girl characters in D&D.
That's
Halloween.
That's how I roll, man.
You're a gender bender, man. I like.
I'm crazy like that, Jeff. I don't know. Anyway. Enough about that.
What else you been?
I'm excited to play.
You're back.
I'm back. It's nice to be home. I had to like get reacquainted with my desk and my PC.
It's always I don't know how to describe or what the feeling is after you come home from a trip like that. But when you sit down at your PC, it feels like you've never been there before. It feels completely different.
Yeah, and everything's wrong. Right, like everything.
Wrong. And the mouse feels like really slow because you've been using a shitty like trackpad on your laptop. And, like, yeah,
exactly. You nailed it.
Exactly.
Nailed it. Glad to be back. Excited to play tonight. I'm stoked.
Cool stuff, Jeff. We spoke with you last night on Solemn, which we had a fantastic episode. I think a lot of people are still hyped about that. Watch out for spoilers in the chat. But anything that's been happening over the past 24 hours?
Just everyone get out the jokes about being asleep now so we can move it along. I am sorry. Like I said,
I wasn't going to bring it up. I'm already past it.
I am awake. Been awake all day. No, I'm kidding. No, I just filmed some content at EG headquarters, got back, did it with Crepo. It'll be really funny. So you guys can stay tuned for that. And Steven, who's here, and Neil, I was told that coming down the pipeline is the extended series we filmed with the DMs eons ago.
Nice.
That I think is fucking hilarious.
That was at Anaheim, right?
Yes. We filmed at Anaheim. This is how magic works. Sometimes it takes six
and a half
years.
Oh, that
was
PAX East. Holy shit.
Yeah. Even further back.
I don't know. Anyways, it's supposed to be pretty close to coming out. So for the role play, the real role play audience, that'll be funny. It's Neil and Steven and myself cracking jokes. Extended series style. So it'll be fun. Outside of that, you know, we had a great episode of Solemn, like JP said, and I'm here and I'm excited. I look forward to this every week. There's a little part of my heart that did die a little bit because we didn't get to do it last week. So we're looking to get back on track, and I will not take any more naps. So I'm excited.
Great stuff, Steven. What's been going on with you, man? How was your weekend? Because we spoke to you on Saturday.
I played my first session of 5th edition D&D, or I ran my first session of 5th ed D&D, which was lots of fun.
Nice.
And I'm going to try really hard not to get the hiccups ridiculously bad here this evening.
Really?
Yep.
Are you like susceptible to that? Are you? Is it?
Anytime I get the hiccups, I hiccup for like 45 minutes straight,
ooh,
like echoing throughout whatever space that I'm in. It's bad. So damn, just taking deep breaths, calming down the hiccups.
You're such a weirdo, Stephen.
True story.
Adam.
You know what? I once had my brain broken because there's conditions where people have gotten the hiccups and they never stopped. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yes.
How terrifying is that? Think about that for a second.
That's scary as shit.
That's pretty scary, yeah.
And that was the first time I ever saw that intro to Swan Song, and it was amazing.
Yeah, it was great. I don't know how that like wasn't. It probably wasn't at the top of the subreddit because there's like 4,000 posts of Swan Song each day. So it just gets flooded. I think Adam and I have been talking. I think we're going to make like a mega thread to consolidate all that into one thing moving forward. But
it'd be a lot easier for me to keep track of, too.
Stephen, I'm interested.
Some guy made like a bounty hunter or something. There's no pretext. There was no context. There's no comments in the thread. It was one of the most. It was such a funny experience because it's like, here's his stats. Here's his gear. Here's his personality. Here's who he is. Here's what he wears. Here's how he prefers to fight. And I'm reading all this, and I get to the end, and I'm like, why? What is this? He's not like, hey, if you guys want to use him, or Adam was talking about making characters to be used. Nothing. And then nobody said anything, because everyone did the same thing I did, where they were like, what is this guy?
Who is this guy?
But I love that the guy, he's like so excited. He's like, well, I gotta make a fucking bounty hunter. He's got black armor. He's like, he's got a robot arm and shit. And then they just put it out there.
There you go.
It's cool.
It's beautiful.
I like it.
You should use it in the campaign, Adam. That's what we should do.
I get
black armor, body armor.
Let's just make everything. Let's make Adam's job even harder, and everyone just submit characters that you want to see, and he'll choose. Obviously, he's going to pick favorites, so make sure your feelings get hurt.
Yeah.
And over on r/swansong.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Steven, I'm interested. What is the name and class of your 5th edition character?
Oh, I'm running the game.
Oh, you're running the game. Oh, yes. So you're
DMing. I am a level 99 deity.
I see. Has your group encountered the bugbear?
Yes, and they hit him 3 times in the first round of combat and killed him.
What?
Yes.
He's got like 40 HP or some shit.
He had 27 hit points and they just destroyed him. This group, I think they got hit once by like one wolf when everything else was dead. And then, like, so they took, like, 3 damage.
Where I'm from, we call that bad GMing.
Shots fired. Shots fired.
But, yeah.
Shots fired, I hear.
The dice were really with them. Like, when, what was it, when you ran it for me? And then, I think, earlier also, like, I was playing the cleric, right? And I just kept getting rocked as the cleric with my 18 armor class. And this time, I just couldn't touch their cleric. I need to swap out my dice.
Evidently,
they were failing me.
So there's just fucking Tarusk there again. And you're like, well,
like when we did that one shot, I felt like that creature was unstoppable. Like we did nothing to that creature.
Yep.
I don't know if you guys even had him.
We just died. Maybe we were underleveled or
I was rolling really high that whole session.
Yes,
that's true. Yeah. You did roll really well.
Yeah. There were 5 players in my group, and we were only 3. So that. Obviously made a big difference.
That probably helps, yeah. That probably helps.
Yeah.
That's all. That was in the one shot we did with me, Neil, Adam, and Steven. You guys can go check that out if you want to. Adam, what's been going on with you the past week, sir?
I also saw that movie about space from Marvel.
What'd you think?
I thought it was really good. I have some issues with some of the choices, but I was really surprised by how good Drax is. That Batista guy, actually a pretty good actor. It was fairly awesome.
Yeah.
He's the best wrestling actor ever in the history.
Oh, yeah. He makes that guy that played Sabretooth in X-Men look like a total jackass. Yeah.
I mean, guys, I think we have to be real here. He is not a great actor. However, the character that he plays in the movie, his bad acting lent to his character. And even if you read the comics, you'll get that.
It's probably
true.
Yeah, pretty cool. I was like, whoa, he's bad. But then I'm like, whoa, he's exactly how he's supposed to be. Well,
that's what casting and directing are for, right? Putting actors in the right role for the character.
I like this knife. I think I shall keep it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I saw that and just have been preparing for Gen Con, which is next week. And
nice. When do you leave for that?
Busy as hell. Tuesday, Wednesday. I don't know. I'm traveling all day because apparently it's impossible to fly straight to Indianapolis of all places.
So what are you doing there? Because certainly there's got to be some roleplay fans that are like going to that.
Yeah, this is actually the first year in a while I don't have like a booth I'm attached to or anything, so I'm just going to be like around doing stuff. But yeah, if there is role-playing fans at Gen Con and you see me, don't be afraid to come and say hello, because I've had that happen last year where people would tweet at me and be like, I saw you at the exhibition hall and I didn't say anything. And I'm like, why? Huh. Don't be scared of me. I'm like 5'3". It's fine.
Exactly. You inspired me, by the way. You reminded me of... It's a mini rant, but the easiest 20 some odd million dollars anyone's ever made in the history of humanity was Vin Diesel's role in that movie.
Yeah.
He said, I am Groot, and he said, we are Groot.
Me and Jesse had the same conversation while Wheat had not seen the movie yet, and we just took his fucking headphones off because we were talking about the movie. He didn't want anything spoiled, but.
I haven't seen it yet. We're not playing roleplay again until like weekend, right?
Probably. Someone's so sensitive that hearing that Vin Diesel is not a huge voice actor in that movie, then I'm sorry, I guess.
Yeah.
But he made, you know, millions of dollars to do that.
He probably made a lot, for sure. I don't. Who knows what it?
Look, man, he's worked hard to get where he's at. Okay, and he was in all the Fast and the Furious movies, and he's
suffered long.
Okay, all right.
True.
That's my internal monologue.
He's better than The Rock, man. Okay.
I would I saw Hercules. It was terrible. Yeah, I would agree.
Did you? I knew that was going to be terrible.
No.
Exactly.
That's disappointing. I want a good Hercules movie.
The second I saw The Rock wearing a gigantic lion headdress and him saying he was born for that role, I was like, okay, this is going to be terrible.
Yeah.
And I generally like The Rock. But
the best part about Hercules was the fact that, like, The Rock maintained his physique throughout that entire filming, because it is absolutely insane for someone to be that ripped. Throughout the entire cat-like direction. It's just...
If you like that, follow his Twitter, man.
What does he do? Like, he just tweets a lot of pictures of himself?
He just tweets endless pictures.
So he's just a monster, but on his cheat days, he ate 3 pizzas, something like 6... I don't know, 20
like
pancakes.
Pans of brownies. Yeah.
It was insane. He ate, like, a tray of Cinnabon.
Three small Indian children.
He tweets all of his cheat day pictures. Is that what you're saying?
He does.
That's all.
And it makes me want to work out so that I can have cheat days again.
Cheat days are good.
He is the biggest hashtag offender you'll ever see in your fucking life. Just like, he'll be like, it'll be a picture of him with bulging muscles ripping up 1,000 pounds. And then it'll be like, hashtag, they said I couldn't do it. Hashtag, they were wrong. Hashtag, I'm doing it. Hashtag, hashtag, it's going to work. Hashtag, someone else is doing it. Hashtag, got
to
work hard.
I would like to retort in terms of like the most facepalmy yet awesomely amazing Twitter. And that is none other than the Iron Sheik.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah, totally.
Iron Sheik.
Yeah, the Iron Sheik, of course, you know, a wrestler. I mean, with such gems as currently on his timeline, the Andy Dalton was only good in this Toy Story 3, otherwise he can go fuck himself. What movie better, Toy Story 3 or Miley Cyrus, I'm going to break your fucking back, you dumb taco tits, for? There's a Miley Cyrus, go fuck yourself, jabroni. Like, anyone who uses jabber and jabroni in my book... We're buddies.
Someone should make a satire account of him and have it all in like great English, perfect language, like
very calm.
Just call,
I do not like the movie Toy Story 3.
The Sheik translated or something.
Yeah,
like that. Yeah, the Sheik translator. There you go.
If you don't know Iron Sheik, you are big time jabroni.
He was like one of the original I guess he's a novelty account. I don't really know, but I remember following him a long, long time ago. I'm hipstering out about the Iron Sheik.
Great.
It's pretty good. All right.
Hashtag awesome.
Adam, take the show over. And let's do some swan songing.
All right. So does somebody want to recap last session right quick for me? Nobody?
We destroyed the universe by activating an ancient and unknown artificial intelligence.
Maybe.
That is going to kill us all and feed us all pizza.
We unbroke a PI. It is supposedly in our ship, where we downed our communication so as to not loose it out, like the liar Steve just said. We were pulling up to the rebels, but they are currently being bombarded by a gigantic fucking cruiser ship from the royal family.
Yeah,
indeed.
And we We shot the drive. We launched the drive out, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you guys have it on board, and it's like leaking radiation into your ship.
Yeah.
Hooray.
Caught it.
Yeah.
What is this? So, JP, in your chat, when people post a fist, is that when someone gets banned?
No, it's actually the opposite. It's when people pay me to sub to the channel.
Oh, you say get fisted?
Yeah, get fisted. Guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think it's a long story that maybe could be surmised as once upon a time when I got pissed off, I used to say, "Are you fucking fisting me?" And then people like started saying it all the time.
Ah!
And now it's whenever someone subscribes, they get fisted.
That is amazing.
Right. Which is appropriate, you know, since we have Victor on the swan song.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm elbow deep inside. Yeah.
That's the explanation of now everyone's right. Just
Wilbur get fisted.
Yep. We're back. We're facing big battle.
So, yeah, you guys are maybe, like, I don't know, still a dozen clicks away from where the actual battle is taking place. But you can hear, like, just vibrating through the ship, the sounds of the cruiser's cannons firing. Piani, you can see on the comms display, like, maybe a dozen smaller craft kind of buzzing around the bigger one. And then the you only know it's there. It's, like, ray shielded or whatever. There's the Bonita Libre base, which you guys are headed towards. You don't have any outgoing communications on the ship currently, for fear of releasing the artificial intelligence that you have on board, but it's been pretty quiet since you got it. What do you guys want to do?
Well, I kind of point out the I always blank on this, but like the cockpit window, and I'm like, you're going to want to get us away from that, Mr. Higgins. Or Mr.
Yeah.
Kovacs, excuse me.
Kovacs driving, yeah.
Yeah, I guess I just start pulling away.
Okay. So you get two messages, Piani. You see them come up on the comms. One from a ship, it's the OSV Baystar, and another from the base itself on an encrypted channel.
How exactly am I getting these?
You've got comms incoming, but not outgoing.
Oh,
so you
gotcha.
You can read them or view them or whatever, but you can't reply.
I want to take a look at both of them.
Okay.
Very quickly.
Okay. Which one do you want to do first? They're both audio.
The one from the encrypted one.
The one from the base? Okay.
The base, thank you.
So when it comes on, you can hear immediately, there's a lot of interference, the encryption static first, and then when that clears, you can still hear like shouting and klaxons and alarms going off. It's obvious that even in the comm station of the base, there's chaos. And there's someone alternately shouting into the comm to like get to talk to you, but also shouting at other people trying to coordinate some kind of like effort. He's yelling in Spanish to the other people. But in English to you, the gist of the message is they're under attack. It's an encrypted mayday to anyone who has this key. Please, you know, for the love of God, save us. Like, we're doomed. This ship is on top of us. Anyone loyal to the Bonita Libre cause, please come and help us evacuate.
So it's not a message directly to us. It just happens to be it's like an SOS that I'm getting.
Okay. Yeah, if anyone's on the comms, they'll be able to pick up that the swan song is within range. But it wasn't directed straight at you guys.
And what about the other message?
The message from the OSV Baystar is a personal message from its captain, Keiko Saavedro, and she's basically it's a broadcast message. But it's like pre-recorded. It's very peaceful, and it starts with the little like Oninson royal family kind of like theme song that they have that starts every sort of propaganda transmission. And then she says very calmly, like, there's no need to be afraid. This is a controlled military situation. Please stay at a safe distance until we've completed our operation. And then something to the effect of, it would be very embarrassing and shameful for us to have to destroy you if you were to come too close. So please keep your distance.
I'm noping the fuck out of here.
Okay. Anybody else have anything to say about that?
Mr. Sakarian he sees him pulling away. He says, I don't hear the message, do I? Or is it read out loud to all of us?
I don't know. Piani, do you play
I patch that shit in to the comms when it's coming across.
I say, do we want to dare to try to get some of them off that? Or what are your thoughts?
I don't think the ship's in good shape.
Yeah,
it's perfectly fine, actually.
It's fully repaired.
Yeah,
right?
We got it repaired, right?
Yeah, it's repaired. The cargo's a little fragile, but
that's still a big fucking ship.
Welcome,
hey guys,
to this week.
I have a great idea. We could reestablish our comms, beam Pi over to the other ship, and have her disable everything on over there. No, that would be a bad idea.
It seems like Victor's maybe losing his mind a little.
It does,
hey guys,
seem like we risk
just a
unleashing
thought.
Yeah, I kind of just PI. Look at Victor, and like my jaw just opens up, and I just look over at Mr. S, and I'm like, the fuck? What is he talking about?
This fucking guy.
So what if Piani tries to use like a comm pad to connect directly to the comms of the ship to see if I could communicate with Pi?
So you want to communicate? It shouldn't be any problem communicating with the AI on board, right? Because it's essentially part of the internal system. So you can do that from any terminal on the ship.
Okay. Then I want to fire. I want to fire a colon bracket into the system.
Okay. You just get back 3 question marks.
Ooh, this is the first communication we've had from Pi since she's been on our ship. Since they've been on our ship.
Swang Song, in good condition. Hope you're doing fine.
Okay. It's no response.
The
system, and you noticed this right away, the system's responding really sluggishly, like down to the keystroke. Like you'll hit a key and it takes like a full second, 2 seconds before it registers. What effect that'll have on the system in a combat scenario, who knows?
Is that affecting my piloting as well?
You're noticing the ship's a little sluggish, yeah.
Mm.
So I want to use my computer skill to try to determine if there's, you know, any sort of diagnostics or anything that I can run to find out why that might be the case.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Just go ahead and make a computer roll.
Okay.
Okay. All you can figure is that the system's resources are just maxed out.
Oh. Guys, we just lose Adam?
Adam's out.
Oh my God.
That was weird. I didn't
the
know
the system resources are fucking maxed.
So we do have the reactor from the destroyer, right? So that technically would complete
our
mission.
Our cargo hold.
Yeah.
If you're thinking, Jeff, that maybe that might be why, I was wondering if maybe
Adam or we can you spam call Adam back so the
yeah
go crazy.
I'm spam calling.
We can do it with Adam, you know. Let's just
it says
we have like 3 other GMs here.
It says busy.
That,
someone could GM
that we have to that ship and save the planet.
Should it say busy?
I think it's because he has to restart.
Jeff, I punch it forwards and rams the swan song into the instant ship. What happens?
I somersault out of the window into the ship, and cool. I begin to kill everyone again.
Man, there's like 10 dudes there, and they're like raking you with machine gun fire. What do you do?
Dodge all of them, obviously.
Oh, damn. What?
Yeah.
Who saw that coming?
I know.
Holy shit.
It just bounced off me.
He put the AI into his smartwatch, and as he tumbles in firing his guns, he also like fucking IR beams it with perfect accuracy through the remote control input for the television that's there, infiltrates the whole system.
That's exactly
and then what happens?
Exactly how I saw it happening.
A big slice of pizza turns up with the point painting for the point pointing up and the crust forming a smiley with 2 pepperonis in the middle of the pizza on all of the screens.
That's what happens.
And then it starts doing a song and dance number.
It's just trying to ring Adam.
Yeah, I told him to restart Skype, so I think that's what he's doing. It's doing that thing where like you can't accept calls because Skype is just like, what are you doing? Why are you trying to accept this call? You don't see any calls.
Maybe ever since we've unbreak the AI.
Yeah, man, it's just fucking with everything.
Yep.
There we go.
Oh, there shit.
We go. Welcome back, sir.
Hey, thanks, guys.
We just went down a what-if scenario, so.
My computer is the one that's inhabited by the rogue AI, apparently.
That's what we were just saying.
Resources are maxed.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Wheat. Keep your AI to yourself, man. All right. So, so the computer core, I mean, it's not like a complicated system, but it will burn out eventually if it runs this hot for very long. Unfortunately, yeah, you get diagnostics, but not solutions. Not with a six.
Okay.
So in the meantime, you can see out the window, like Sakarian and Higgs, you guys are both near a viewport enough that you can see that, like, the fighters that are kind of swarming the ship are getting picked off. A couple of, like, cargo ships have left the base and are kind of trying to make it away from the battle. They're getting shot at, but they haven't been hit yet. And, it looks like the Oninsen ship is definitely winning this particular
Without our ability to communicate, I don't know that there's much that we can do here. And to communicate, we would have to risk Pi going to a planet. And I also don't think that that's safe.
What is this planet called again?
It says
Oninsa.
Oninsa.
It's Oninsa, right?
Yeah.
I think the prudent thing to do is to complete our mission, I guess. Unless you guys have another way of communicating with them to try to help.
Didn't we get like a 30-kilometer long-range communicator thing?
Yeah, it's part of the ship, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
As the ship comes. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, like Piani, you could if you wanted to, and if you roll well enough to do it quickly, you could probably rig up some kind of like pulse communicator that bypasses the main like core. But it would depend on how well you roll, right?
I guess I look at the group and I'm like, well, what are we just never going to turn the comms back on? What are we waiting for? Why don't we just turn it on?
We have to figure out a way to contain Pi.
Well, Piani, how do we contain Pi?
I don't know yet.
Well, this is the dumbest.
I need more time.
We're a ship without communication. Do you know how stupid that is? Our communication is bullets right now. While I like that form of communication, it's not the best for communicating.
Sakarian can shoot bullets in Morse code.
Yes. Just hit them with the laser in Morse code.
Fuck.
How much do we care about these people? What were they going to give us? They were going to help us salvage the ship so we lose out on like 300,000 credits if we don't save their asses. Fuck.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. I mean, you could hire like a salvage crew, or you could just sell the salvage rights once you have them. But yeah, I mean, these guys they're a pretty positive relationship on this planet, at least.
Are these the people that Mr. S made friends with?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. These are Raul and Pedro and their family.
These are my people, Mr. Kovacs, and I have left them behind before, so it's not like I'm forcing you guys into this, but I think if we can help, it would be prudent to do that.
You know, I'm all for help, even though Mr. Est isn't the biggest fan, but we could make a couple extra bucks with them, their blue fever situation. We could. There's money to be made on this planet, and if we help, I'm sure there's more.
With the salvage, yes. With blue fever, you will not earn money. You will only burn to the ground.
Or we could get high.
Hey, it's the first rule. You don't get high in your own supply, Higgs. Come on. Didn't Biggie tell you anything?
That's true.
If we're gonna try to help, let me rig something. Let me try. Let Piani try to rig something to at least see if we can communicate.
Could we not land and use personal comms?
Yeah, there's not a lot of like safe place to land around here, but I mean you could try and just like make it for the base. They recognize your ship's like standard transponder, so it's not like the rebels would shoot at you anyway.
Give us a picture once again, like this ship compared to the forces that are on the ground.
So right now, the only thing that Oninza Libre is using to fight the carrier or whatever, the cruiser, is a handful of fighters. So the fighters are all in close, kind of harrying main systems, just trying to distract them while the base evacuates. So they load up their cargo ships and get away. Yeah, it's really more like environmental damage that's the problem, right? Because the big guns can't hit the fighters, so they're just shooting at the mountain. They don't really know where the base is, but they know it's here somewhere, and eventually they'll just reduce this whole kind of mountain range area into a pile of rubble with a base under it somewhere. They're not subtle, the royal family.
So really the best thing we could do is just help them escape.
Yes, yeah. Which is what they were requesting, right? Like, just help with the evacuation. They know they're not going to win.
How can we help?
I mean, I feel like the easiest thing for us to do is to set up a rendezvous point away from the base where they can get to safely, that's out of line of fire of this massive cruiser.
I believe Mr. Kovacs has the best of it, and we can just offer up a time of window that we think safe, and then if they don't come, they don't come, but to offer something is better than nothing.
Only problem with that is we have to communicate with them in order to do that.
We can use personal comms.
Can we use personal comms right now in the air, or are we too far out? We have to land in order to do that, Adam?
No, you guys could try and do it now. Your personal comms might not be able to handle the encryption and stuff that they're using, but Piani could rig something together, probably.
I'll fucking rig something.
Yeah, you want to try and do that? Okay. So make a computer's roll for me. Ooh, okay. Not so much.
Wow. Right.
So we just turn around and Piani's like...
Use your reroll. Do you have a reroll?
No, he's not an expert.
She's a psychic.
Psychic.
So Piani just takes out his comm or her comms, throws it on the ground, and starts pissing on it.
I'm doing the best I can.
Is this not what you wanted? Stop peeing on the equipment. What the fuck's wrong with
Piani,
you?
Piani, what? Go use the restroom. What are you doing?
I had a bit too much to drink last night.
Yeah, Piani, you're finding that the plan was to access the communications, like the dish on the ship that actually beams the communication and wire that into your comm pads. But you're like intermittently locked out. Like the resources aren't available. Everything keeps locking up because of the load on the system. You're within a reasonable range. If you can find somewhere safe to put down, you could probably get off the ship and just straight up use the comm server you guys have if you disconnect it from the ship.
Victor, find a place to put her down.
I'm already on it.
Okay.
I'm looking for something, you know, like in the crevice between two hills or something like that, out of
sight. Yeah, you guys are in a big, like, kind of semi-Arctic valley. So it'll be a case of finding, an area flat enough you can put the ship down and stable enough that it won't collapse with the weight of a ship on it. If somebody with navigation wants to roll to help, then you can make a pilot test.
Oh, yeah, totally. I will help.
Okay.
So 2d6, navigation is a 0, and it's based off int, right?
Yes.
Okay, so just a straight 2d6. 8.
Nice. Okay, so Higgs, you pull up a 3D model scan of the area. You have a little
information. Do I do the minority report thing where I like pull it out and go like that?
Yeah.
And then spin it around. Okay, sweet.
Yeah, you have the valley and it's this like orange blob where the ship is and little red blobs flying around it and you like pull it and stretch it.
Sweet.
Yeah, and when you you chart a path and then transfer it and you do the sweep over to Victor's console. So Victor, you get on your HUD for the ship. You get a bunch of like concentric sort of circles tunneling down to where Higgs has like planned for you guys to land.
Yeah.
So it's a little closer to the battle maybe than you'd like, but it does look like a pretty safe path down. So if you want to make a pilot test, you get to add one.
In addition to my current stuff.
Yeah, in addition
right?
to so your normal stuff.
That's 2 plus 2 total. I'm going to reroll that.
Okay. All
right. No.
The exact same. Ah, brilliant. Okay. Does your second 6 feel better than your first 6?
No.
No. Okay.
It feels, especially because the numbers were exactly the same.
Okay. So the ship, you can put it down, but in the process, the Swan takes 2 damage. It's not a soft landing.
Right.
And so everybody on board, you if you're smart enough to be wearing your harness for your seat, you don't get jostled around too bad. If you're not, maybe you fall out of your chair, hit your head on a console or something. But nobody takes any damage from the landing, except the ship.
I fall out of the chair. I'm like, Victor, can you work on those landings, please? But
yeah. Next time we're being bombarded from orbit, I'll be a little more careful. Jeez.
So the ship, are maybe three clicks closer now. You've landed on a plateau, a big snowy plateau. The front end of the ship is all buried under snow. Obviously, you'll be able to pull it out again. But yeah, that's what stopped your landing before you hit the mountain. From here, you can still hear outside the like massive bass, like thump of the plasma cannons going off. And the
how far are we from them?
Maybe like nine kilometers now.
Okay, so we could take our comm server like just off the ship.
And yeah, you don't have to physically take it off the ship. You just need to disable its connection to the ship.
Okay, word.
Yeah, I just turned to pick, and I'm like, can you get the comm and no pissing this time. Make it work.
We're done. I'm sure I can disconnect it.
Okay, so you want to run down to wherever the comm server is held and do that?
Yes.
Okay, so when you do, you get up and leave. What's everybody else doing on the bridge? Are you just going to hang out until that's done, or you want to leave the ship?
I'm like watching the skies and escorting them outside, I guess, and just making sure we're clear.
Okay. All right.
Do we have you said we had I had a map of the area. Do I have a map of exactly where we are and what's surrounding us in our immediate area?
Yeah, you have a pretty clear, there's the exchange maintains planetary, on planets that they're able to like land on and survey, but they have planetary surveys. They have like geologists and cartographers that map planets. So you have whatever the most recent exchange survey of the planet is available just as part of the ship's database.
Okay, what I'm trying to discern is that since I assume this is going to be the evacuation point, or if there is a better evacuation point, I'm trying to look for the best one possible.
Yep.
So if there's like a secret sewer tunnel or something that's coming out where we're at or anything like that, that's what I'm looking for.
I think that like this area was chosen by Onin Salibre because it's pretty far from any like major city or any infrastructure, which actually kind of asked the question of how the royal family found them here in the first place.
Right.
Because from what you could tell, they were pretty careful about their security. You look at you can still see on the display where all the ships are going, and the cargo ships, though there's less of them than the last time you looked, they're headed kind of away, like towards like another area of the planet.
We just want to communicate like a safe place outside, like whoever gets away.
Yeah.
Right? Meet us there.
Okay. We're not wanting to do like an immediate evac right near the ongoings of this fight, right?
No, I think we just communicate with them.
That we're
Okay. Well, so Piani, you're outside. You might as well have this conversation. So you've got the comm server disconnected and you're like tuning in. There's the two major signals. There's the Baystar. And there's the encoded signal that you've just patched in your personal code, so you can pick that up too. And yeah, it's the repeating Mayday, but you can reply now if you want to. You can open a direct channel.
Hand to Mr. Carrion
to talk to the rebels.
Yeah, I mean you had the best relationship with them.
Okay. I apologize because I slept through the last session. What was the name of the guy?
the prisoner that you had, his name was Raul. His brother, his like slightly more militant brother, was Pedro.
And we're on the secure line, right?
Their last name is Valdez. And you are.
And they're Libre. What are they called again?
Onita Libre is the name of the faction, yeah.
Onita Libre, this is Mr. Sicarian. Is there anyone there?
You get a response that's mostly static and like exploding noises, and then eventually someone, a man whose voice you don't recognize, says, "Yes, we're here. Who is this? Please, we need your help."
We cannot offer you any kind of any other help than that we are at these coordinates, and I like gesture someone send the coordinates. I guess.
Yeah, I send them over.
And we can. How many people could we transport? I would know about.
Basic transport, as many people as will fit in a like 100-ton cargo hold.
So, put them next to the fucking glowing ball; it'll be fine.
It's worth noting that we only have 84 person days of life support.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to be leaving the planet, but yeah, like you could fit a fair number of people in the cargo hold.
We can,
but again,
we can hold a good 20 or 30 people and get you out of this war zone. We'll be here for 1 hour, no longer though.
Okay, I'd like it to be known that I am prepping the med bay during all of this.
Excellent. That sounds good. Okay. So the reply comes and they say, we'll try and get to you. All the ships we have are leaving for the secondary base. And then there's some more exploding and static. I mean, you can see from here, if you guys are standing, like outside, you can see the mountain is like crumbling and, most of the fighters have been disabled and the battleship is sort of like turning to get broadside on the fleeing, like cargo ships. So they go dead and you can still see like the last of the escape vessels, kind of like some shuttles and stuff leaving the base before it gets like pummeled into, garbage.
I say, we'll be here 1 hour. Good luck.
Okay.
And then I click it off.
Okay. So, Higgs, you can see there are two ships that are headed your direction from the rubble. It doesn't look like the OSV base star has noticed you yet, but once they've blown up the base, it's a pretty good chance they'll be able to detect you. So there's these two ships. One of them is called the Tom Jones. The other one doesn't have a responder. If you want to, you can use a computer to get more information about them before they arrive, like if you want to scan them.
Hold on. I'm writing this down. And these are the Royal Family ships?
No, these are just two little like frigates that left the base before it was.
So we don't know. I don't know if they're good or bad. I don't know anything about them other
than
their name.
Yeah, they're just headed your way. I mean, by invitation, right?
Oh, okay. Okay. So these are people we just called. Okay.
Yeah.
Can I scan to see? Are they weaponized or are they just frigate ships?
Roll computers.
This is great. computer, D6. What is computer based off? Int?
Yeah, it's intelligent.
So just minus one. 8.
Okay, cool. So the ship, one of the ships specifically has had its like transponder removed. It would be illegal to fly this ship in most systems. The Tom Jones is a Madari registered freighter, and it does have is about a comparable weapons capacity to the Swan Song.
Okay, I relay this information to I guess the two people outside.
Just to kind of nudge your memory, the Madari are the like intersector crime syndicate that's been peddling Blue Fever and all that jazz.
Mm. Okay.
So, who knows where these guys came from? Or the ship might be stolen. But
okay. I tell the people outside and tell them that and say, be careful out there. Victor, you probably want to get if the med bay is prepped or whatever. I think you probably just went down there. You probably just went down there looking for gloves. You sick fuck. Get back up here to the bridge. So if we need to get going, we can.
I return to the bridge.
Okay. So Sicarian, are you waiting outside for the ship to arrive?
Yeah.
Okay. And Piani, are you with him or are you somewhere else? Are you still with the comm server?
Yeah, I'm still at the comm server.
Okay. All right. So Mr. Sicarian, you're standing like kind of like ankle deep in snow. There's a pretty heavy wind, like blowing snow and debris from the battle away. And every once in a while, you get this like bright green flash from the plasma cannons going off. I don't know if you've ever been this close to like a ship battle before. I'm going to assume you probably have.
Not a ship battle, no.
Yeah.
Oh
okay.
No, Sicarian. Yes, I thought you meant me.
But you're having maybe not flashbacks, but it's definitely reminiscent of a more violent time for you. And the way that the Oninsa Royals like disable this base is nothing short of surgical. Like they just like mow it down top to bottom, left to right, until there's nothing left of the mountain that it was a part of. And then all of a sudden the guns go quiet and you see these two cargo ships approaching. One of them is just plain kind of like gray and steel color. The other one is painted like in like bright orange and gray, kind of like a tiger. And you see on the side of it, as they both kind of come to land in the empty space that you guys have got here, the tiger-colored ship has written in bright yellow on the side, kind of like spray-painted. It has the words Tom Jones, and it's got a symbol on the side of, like, a number, a significant number of, like, interlocking rings. And inside each ring, there's a, like, a character from a language that you don't understand. And they make up kind of a like, a sphere of these rings that lock.
Do I recognize this language?
Both of them land. What languages do you speak?
Let's see here.
You speak space English and alien.
Ancient, right? Shindalian.
No.
This is an ancient Shindalian?
It's definitely not an ancient Shindalian.
Oh,
ship.
Man.
Higgs, you've seen that symbol before, though, if you look out the window to the ship.
I would say I'm just watching them the entire time through.
Yeah, totally. I figure everybody's got an eye on it. Yeah. Yeah, it's the symbol of the Madari Syndicate. Each circle represents a different like a different tribe, and the 36 tribes together make up the syndicate.
And I know so that the Madari Syndicate are bad, or
bad is a relative term, right? Like, they
have I had any dealings with them in the past?
Yeah. Like, oh, definitely. Yeah. They employ your kind all the time, right? They're a good source of employment and income if you want it.
Can I do a culture criminal role to see if I know why they're on this planet?
Definitely. The thing is?
They peddle blue fever, right?
Yeah. Of late, that is one of their main operations.
Culture criminal is based off charisma. Is that correct?
That would be if you're making an NPC, like if you want to know someone on the ship, yes. But it's intelligence if you just want to know.
Okay, so just plus one. Okay. Wait, what the fuck am I doing? There we go. 10.
Nice. Okay. The Madari are drawn to conflict because conflict creates misery and misery creates need for things like drugs. So they're probably here to sell drugs to the people of this planet to help them forget that the planet is under war.
Do I recognize them and know them?
You might recognize the symbol. Everybody recognizes they have a sort of a public face, where they're just like, kind of a cultural or ethnic group where they're like, there are all these tribes, we band together, and people claim that we're, you know, criminals and stuff, but we're just, you know, doing business. We're scientists.
Recognizing that, Mr. Sicarian sees two functional freighters coming towards us and landing.
Yep.
And he knows who they are. So I'm not going to say you can hear him pump actioning the plasma.
Yeah, the wind is too loud, but yes.
But he very quietly kind of says into the mic, like, Mr. Higgins, they are not welcomed here.
I hear that. Higgs hears that and looks at Victor off comms, and he's like, hey, Victor, you want to buy some drugs?
No, I am okay.
But we could, I'm not, you don't have to partake, but we could sell it. Maybe get a little bit of money, me and you.
Weren't you talking about getting high on your own supply earlier?
What I was saying and what I was not saying is of your concern or something. Some wise man once said that. I still haven't gotten it right. all right. I go back over on the comms. I'm like, they're definitely heading our way. We're going to have conversations. I don't know if you guys want me to have those, but once again, we can't turn on our comms, so it's up to you guys.
I just radio back and I say, you know, I'm happy to provide them a lift and give them a ride, but I feel like our current payout from the ship that we have salvage rights to is worth far more than any drugs we could catch off of these people who are fleeing this conflict.
I don't think they're fleeing. I think they're trying to profit off of what's... I guess we'll see what's going on. Mr. S, you want to talk to them a little bit, see what they're up to? At least see if they respond?
Will do.
All right. So both the ships land and start their sort of docking process. Like, they've landed in, like, the ship's ramps.
Just so you're clear, by the way, too, Adam, I'm not standing in the middle of the open. Like, maybe I was watching this, but I now walk to partial cover or something, like near the ramp or something.
Yeah, and you're one of the landing struts or something. Yeah,
yeah. Sure. And the gun's not out, but it's at my side underneath my jacket.
Do they aim their turrets at us on their ship?
No. The unnamed freighter doesn't have weapons. The Tom Jones's weapons are turned off right now.
Okay.
So they land, and Piani, you get two hails, like one from each ship right away.
I patch him through the ship PA.
Okay, they both come through talking at the same time, and it's you can't make one from the other.
Piani, one at a time, you stupid one at a time. You can't patch two things. Do you know anything about shipping?
Maybe you can't fucking multitask, but my brain does it just fine.
I try to listen in and see if I can decipher anything because he's not going to switch it to one.
I just want to see if the fucking Space Master can do two it simultaneously.
You hear a man's voice and a woman's voice coming through at the same time. The man seems calmer than the woman. The woman seems a little bit panicked. The woman has a Spanish accent. The man sounds like he's Korean. And then which one do you want to patch in? Tom Jones or the other one?
Flip the knobs a little bit. Tom Jones.
Okay, so the Korean man, you get up front. You guys get the display. While he's speaking, there's like a in the bottom of the video feed. There's that Madari symbol again, and he says, "My name is Bang Jun Suk. I'm the captain of the Tom Jones. We got your message. We're here for extraction."
What? What?
Can I hear the other one?
You're like, let me just put you on hold.
Well, we can't respond to him, right? Because that would open up our comms on the ship.
Well, you can, as long as basically what Piani's done is she's got comms ready for you within like a 30K distance. Other than that, you have comms, but they're all
okay.
Quite limited.
What is, I guess he patches the other one.
Yeah, he patches the other one in. It's a woman. She doesn't really introduce herself. She's just like, the ship has no more fuel. Please, we need to get aboard quickly before the battlecruiser turns around. Please, please help. And she's like, you don't get a visual on her. She's just like shouting. And you can hear other people shouting in the background.
I respond to the woman and I say, how many people on your ship, ma'am?
She says, 35.
I put her on hold immediately. Like over to the other one, to the... Okay.
The Tom Jones.
Yeah, I want to say Tom Cruise for some reason.
The captain of the Tom Jones. He says, "Look, we don't have a lot of time. I'll tell you this: there are six members of my crew. You could take three of us and leave the other three behind. I don't care about them. We also have a very important cargo, very expensive. I'm willing for you to pay you to get us off this planet."
Well, how much are we talking there, sir?
100,000 credits, no questions asked.
I look at Victor and I say, Victor.
I just nod.
Sir, hold on. Sir, 150. I mean, your life is basically in my hands right now. I could make this 200 and probably still be a good deal on your end. So let's just be real with one another.
Do you have intimidation or business? Either of those?
I have persuade.
Yeah, okay, sure. You can try to persuade him that it's a good idea. Yeah, go for it.
God damn it. Persuade plus two. Six. God, fucking shit.
Okay.
Reroll it.
I will reroll that.
It's a good time for it, too.
It's at the end of the hour.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, so there's a moment, and he says 150, and you take my entire crew.
We can do that. We've got room.
Is he on like visual audio video comms?
Yeah,
or just
you can see him.
Do I notice discoloring of the teeth?
Yes. Yeah, totally. His mouth is definitely blue. Yeah.
Hey, you got any more of those drugs?
He kind of looks at you like cockeyed and is like, "What do you think the fucking cargo is, moron?"
Higgs. No questions asked, Higgs.
Oh, all right.
Let's go.
Hold on. I'm saving your life right now, and this is important. You got to wrap that in something to make it not look like it's drugs. Because if we got
Higgs,
kind of a badass
on
our plane.
Professionals.
He says to you, he's like, "I understand. The cargo is already ready to ship. We smuggled it in. We were going to sell it to these people, and then all this shit happened. We're ready to smuggle it back out."
All right. Is any of you not of the blue teeth variety right now?
He says we have a mercenary on board.
Let him do all the talk. Look, we've got a badass on our ship, and if he knows that you're smuggling this shit onto this here swan song, he'll kill every single one of you. So be very fucking careful.
Fine, then we will let our killers have a conversation. And so, meanwhile, Mr. Sakarian, you
what?
See
that's not what...
you see the route, the ramp down, and you see a guy in power armor, like not like huge, like tromping power armor, but obviously like powered armor, carrying a rifle, come down and sort of survey the area in an obviously like trained military fashion. And he turns, and when he sees you, puts his hand to his helmet, and his, like, view screen, like, opens, so you can see his face, and you recognize him right away. And he looks at you, and he's like, Sakarian? Well, shit. And this is probably a good time to break, and we'll figure out what that's all about in a second.
Perfect. Sounds good. We'll see you guys in 3 minutes. We're going to go into our first break. Still 3 hours to go left for week 4, A Swan Song. We'll see you guys in a little bit.